Welcome to the Global Investor Podcast, a show that focuses on helping foreign investors enter the lucrative U.S. real estate market. Host Charles Carrillo combines decades of real estate investing experience with a professional background in international banking to interview experts in all areas of U.S. real estate investing. Now, here's your host, Charles Carrillo.
Do you have money sitting in the stock market and you're worried about it? Or worse, you have money sitting at the bank, not keeping up with inflation? My name is Charles Carrillo, founder and managing partner of Harborside Partners. And since 2006, I've been investing my money and my family's money into income-producing properties. These are real assets, real properties with real addresses that produce real cash flow. At Harborside Partners, we provide passive investors who love real estate with a turnkey investing solution. If you want to put your money to work in real estate but can't find deals, don't have the time to get funding, and the last thing that productive people want to do is manage real estate. We find the deals, we fund the deals, and we manage the tenants, the termites, and the properties. Partner with us at investwithharborside.com. That's investwithharborside.com. Go to investwithharborside.com. If you love real estate, you like the idea of passive income, and believe that income-producing properties will appreciate over time, go to investwithharborside.com. That's investwithharborside.com. Welcome to another episode of the Global Investors Podcast. I'm your host, Charles Carrillo. Today, we have Joshua Ferrari. After 6 years in the aviation industry, Josh began investing into multifamily real estate. And only 4 years after starting his real estate journey, Josh built a portfolio alongside investors of 874 units worth over $65 million while raising tens of millions of dollars from private investors. So thanks so much for being on the show today, Joshua.
Yeah, man. Well, I know this is called Global Investors, but here we are both in Florida, so I like it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we have a lot of investors that come from foreign that listen to it about investing here in the United States. So the whole theme of the show, really. And so, Joshua, I kind of gave a really brief background on yourself, but can you give a more in-depth background, both personally and professionally, prior to getting bit by the real estate bug and getting involved in real estate investing?
Right. I'm really curious to know what the real estate bug actually looks like. You know, I've always wondered when you get bit by this bug, what does it look like? But anyway, Josh Ferrari, I got started in investing in real estate back in January of 2018. I had no prior experience or honestly desire, passion, drive, entrepreneurial spirit. None of it existed before actually getting into this business. I was a full-time aircraft technician. That's what I went to college for. Thought I was moving down to Southern Alabama to start a longstanding career as an aircraft technician. And it wasn't until my dad actually called me up out of the blue sometime in January of 2018 and told me that him and my mom were getting ready to start flipping houses. And it was one of those, wow, never thought about that. Didn't even know you could do that if you didn't have a lot of capital. And then it became one of those, well, if you can do it, I can do it kind of conversations. So that was really the conversation that catapulted my interest into the business. I never actually did flipping, but my wife and I almost immediately after that, 2 weeks later, got a wholesaling course, jumped into wholesaling, jumped into local real estate investor associations, meetups, clubs, started listening to podcasts, reading books, Bigger Pockets, the whole nine, right? Yeah. So I got really into wholesaling as much as I possibly could. We tried that for about 6 months. Had probably about 7 or 8 deals that we got under contract, didn't close a single deal along the way. Realized I could have cared less about wholesaling. So pivoted and wanted the benefits of owning real estate. So bought a fourplex. This is again about 6 or 7 months into actually first hearing about the business. And then that was supposed to be a house hack. We were supposed to live in one of the units and rent out the other three. We were really excited about that. Thought we were going to make a ton of money. It's going to be our ticket to riches, so to say, start us on this path. But of building a portfolio, and none of that happened at all. We ended up losing about $60,000 on that deal, and just about anything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And we can talk about that later if you want to, but it's a lot. And so we learned a lot through that, though. One huge valuable lesson I learned through that process was that I had absolutely zero clarity on what I wanted both my business and my life, like lifestyle, to look like. So the wife and I got really crystal clear on what we actually wanted that to look like. We crafted what we call our Vivid Vision, which for any of you that have not ever read the book, Vivid Vision by Cameron Harold, highly encourage it. Fantastic book, changed my life. And after crafting that, we were like, okay, we realized small multis, single family, flipping, wholesaling, short-term rentals, none of that's going to be the solution to us living a passive lifestyle and having enough money to do the things that we ultimately want to do. So it was February of 2019. when we made the decision that large scale commercial multifamily is all we were going to focus on. No more shiny object syndrome. I'm sure there's a million gajillion different ways you can make money in this business, but I'm just going to focus on one thing. So I tried something a little bit different, got a mentor. I had tried to do everything on my own the previous two times and failed miserably, both with just not being able to close a deal and with losing over 60 grand. So I was like, yeah. I don't want to lose any more money. I don't want to waste any more time. Let's just find someone who's been there, done that, that can help me along this path. So I learned a ton underneath my mentor. It was absolutely the most invaluable relationship I feel like I've ever experienced. And was underneath him for about 2 years, found my two business partners along the way. And we ultimately closed our first syndication, first multifamily. It was a 42 unit complex in December of 2020. And then from then till now, it's been about 30 months, almost 31 months. And we've closed over 874 units, 65 million assets under management. We've raised over $25 million from passive investors over the last two and a half years. We officially vertically integrated last year. We started our own property management company, now has 5 full-time employees. We have 4 full-time employees just inside Ferrari Capital. You were actually on my podcast, Creative Capital, that I started 3 years ago in April. We're now at, we've surpassed 1 million plus downloads, 60,000 plus people that tune in on a monthly basis, a couple of show sponsors. Really been incredible to see what that show has been able to do. And then the last thing I'll say is I officially became financially free after about 18 months of actually closing multifamily deals. So it really doesn't take that long to actually achieve financial independence. And then I wanted other people to achieve the same thing. Mentors played such a pivotal role in my ability to succeed. So I wanted to give back and be able to do the same for others. Started a mastermind in summer of last year. We've had over 52 people go through now. They've closed over 950 units. They've raised over $35 million of equity, and they have another 1,200 plus units under contract. So that's quite literally what I've been up to in the last 5.5 years.
That's fantastic. A lot of great information. That's a great story. So can we just circle back to your first, I guess, multifamily deal that you're doing with your team, and it was a 42 unit. Can you give us, like, break that down a little bit of what was in that deal, where you raised the money from, how you found the deal?
Good question. So I actually found the deal from my mentor. So that was one of the many invaluable pieces to that relationship. It was actually his deal that he owned that he was selling. And he sold it to me. He's like, I've been seeing you trying and struggling to find a deal that makes any financial sense. I've got a deal. I know it pencils. And I'll tell you what, I was going to list it with a broker. This was August of 2020. It's like, what we were going to do is we were going to spruce up the property a little bit. We were going to list it with a broker beginning January or February of next year. And we were going to basically put it on the market for XYZ price. But if you think that you would be interested in closing this deal, if you think you can close it before the end of the year, and if you think you can do that without us having to go through a broker, then I'll give you a $450,000 discount on what I was going to list it at. And I was like, give me what you got, right? Send me all the information. Let me take a look. I've got to check this out. So looked at it, and it seemed like it made financial sense to me. So I had one business partner at the time. It was just me and Reggie. And we put it under LOI, put it under PSA. It was like the most simplified process ever since I knew very well the seller, right? And then after getting it under contract, it was about 3 weeks, 4 weeks in. Not one, but two hurricanes blew through the Gulf Coast for the first time in 16 years and blew all the roofs off of pretty much every single one of the buildings, damaged the siding, tore a bunch of trees down. And now there's this massive insurance claim, massive problem now with the property. And we were like, well, shoot, you know, not only have we never closed a multifamily deal, but now you're telling me I have to go through a giant insurance claim along with it. And they had a right of, they had like a right of attorney or something like that, that they had actually going through the process for them. And they were wanting to charge exorbitant fees to be able to do that. And we were going to end up having to eat those fees. Or we could just do it ourselves and fire them. But it was a very political, bureaucratic process we had to go through to be able to fire them and take it over ourselves. I don't know, long story short, there was a lot of different things that came up throughout that deal. A lot of big learnings, even just in the first one. And so another one of your questions was, how did we raise the money? 2 months prior to actually getting that deal under contract, I had done what I now created myself, which was basically a 30-day capital raising challenge. the whole challenge, the whole purpose of it was to learn how to raise $500,000 in 30 days. And I was like, yeah, right. 500 grand in 30 days. Who the heck's going to be able to do that? I had never raised money like at all up to this point, never even tried. And it was like a couple $100 to get into the challenge. I was like, all right, I'll try it out for a couple $100. Worst case scenario, I learned nothing, a couple $100 down the drain. Best case scenario, I learned one thing and like it changes my life forever. So I did the challenge. 30 days later, I raised $6 million in 30 days. And I was like, holy cow, I obviously have a skill set that I never knew that I had. I just have a network and connections that I never knew that I had before, because I never knew how to actually tap into those connections, tap into that network. And so literally 2 months later, once we actually got the deal under contract, then I was able to go back to all of those investors and say, hey, remember that example deal we were discussing 2 months ago? Now I've got something solid. Do you want to jump in and be a part of it? And it was really easy to because it was 6 million in soft commits we got from that, that I got from that. And then we only needed to raise about 650,000, 10% of the amount that I had just basically raised. Wow. So it was super, super simple and super easy to get the commits for that from already having the interest previously from the challenge.
Interesting. So Joshua, how were you, when you're raising all this money from investors over the years, what have you found to be the most valuable avenues for raising money for deals? So what did you utilize for raising all this funds? Obviously there's some relationships in there, but what else did you use to do this?
Literally just social media. So about 90% of all of the investors that have ever invested with us up to this point have come through social media. And there's a really strategic way that you have to utilize social media to be able to do that. You can't be like everybody else. You can't post all the educational content and say, hey guys, look, did you know that you can invest in your self-directed IRA and your 401ks? It's really great. And you can take all this money and make all this money if you just invest in real estate, because then you're just, a million and a million. Like, you're literally just like everybody else in this sea of echoes on social media where you're not different. You're not special. There's nothing that differentiates me wanting to invest with you from wanting to invest in with the other millions of people that are saying the exact same thing on social media. So you have to be different. You have to be unique. You have to be authentic. And a lot of people, for some reason, don't like to be authentic on social media, but you have to be if you want to be any level of successful in this business, because consistency is really the next key to success. And you're never going to be able to be consistent if it's always a chore, if it's always a job, if it's always a work for you to have to be fake and come up with what you're going to say on social media. If it just comes naturally to you, if you're as authentic as you possibly can be in the content that you're curating and what you're posting, then it's going to be really simple, really easy. And it's going to be a lot easier for you to be able to be consistent, which is going to allow you to be able to build those relationships, raise a ton of capital, and ultimately just be successful in real estate investing or in syndication.
So what platforms were you utilizing? And then the other thing was, what were you posting?
Hard to say exactly what I was posting, but Facebook and LinkedIn are really the two platforms that I'm primarily focusing on. I have a LinkedIn account, I have an Instagram account, but I don't ever get on it. I know some people are massively successful with Instagram, like Brandon Turner, but he's also been building his audience for over 17 years. So if you want to take many decades building your audience to be able to see success on various other platforms like Instagram, by all means, be my guest if that's just what you really enjoy. But the reasons that I really like Facebook and LinkedIn is, one, I already had at least a semblance of an audience on Facebook. It's just a lot more personalized on that platform than it is with other platforms. And then on LinkedIn, it's very business oriented, and the algorithm allows you to be able to reach a massive audience without spending decades building that audience. So like, as of now, I've been on LinkedIn since around middle of the year, around Q2 of 2020. And I have about 9,700 followers, which sounds like a lot, but it's really not a lot. So every time I post, I usually post anywhere between 3 to 5 times a week, only during the weekdays, Monday to Friday. Every time I post, only having 9,700 followers, my post sees about 10 to 70,000 views per post. So I'm able to reach a much larger audience on LinkedIn without actually having had to build that audience, due to simply the algorithm that LinkedIn uses. So I really like LinkedIn. It's also the primary platform for networking. It's the primary business platform. It's the primary investing platform. So it's just where a lot of people are that are looking to find this kind of information, looking to want to know how to invest passively, looking to want to know how to invest actively, looking to just want to know more about real estate investing. So it's definitely a platform I've seen massive amounts of success with. And as far as what I'm posting, again, it goes back to the authenticity piece. So don't be the guy that's always posting educational content. You're always like, hey, check out how much money you can make on this. 10% pref, man. Let me explain to you what a pref is. Let me tell you that, you know, cap rates, they're getting lower. They're compressing. You know, we can make a bunch of money with these low cap rates. Dude, I promise you, no one cares about any of that. That's why when you post that stuff, you only see those posts get like 5 to 10 likes and maybe one or two comments from their mom and their grandma. Like, no one cares about all of that because everyone already knows the answers to all of that information. It's already widely spread from millions of other people. So you got to be different. And the best way for you to be different is to just be yourself. Talk about your personal story. Talk about your life. Talk about your dog. Talk about your wife. Talk about your family. Talk about a deal that you're struggling with, that you're failing, that you lost 60 grand on. Talk about a deal that didn't pencil. Talk about a deal that did pencil. How many LOIs you're submitting? How exactly you're submitting those LOIs? What does that document look like? How are you going through that process? Like, stuff like that is really what people want to see, because then they get to see behind the curtain of you specifically, your company, what you're doing. And that's going to help people build the confidence and the comfortability in wanting to be a part of what it is that you got going on. Because then a lot of times what you'll do also by being as authentic and personal as you possibly can be is you'll prevent the need from getting on 1,000+ one-on-one phone calls with 1,000+ different investors. Because now they're basically getting to have a conversation with you 3 to 5 times a week every time you post. They get to hear you in a video. They get to see a picture of you. They get to see a deep, descriptive, detailed information about something that's been going on in your personal life. And oftentimes what I've found in my own personal business is that people will literally invest with me and I've never had a single conversation with them in my entire life. And I'm like, wait, we got to have a pre-existing relationship. Hold on. Like, how did you find out about me? And they're like, oh, I've been following you for years. You know, I've been following your podcast. I've been watching you on LinkedIn. I love your content. And I've been wanting to reach out, but I've just been kind of shy or scared or blah, blah, didn't know how to. So I build up the gumption to finally reach out to you. And I want to get involved. And then they've got like a ton of money. Come to find out, these random Joe Blows out there have million, 2 million, 5 million bucks. You're like, dang, just these lurkers back there that you never knew existed. And you would have never known if you didn't remain consistent and remain authentic.
Yeah. Oh, that's great information. Thank you. So Josh, what would you say for, give us a little background into your current business now with your partners. I mean, what are some of the main criteria you're looking for when you're reviewing deals and when you're ultimately pulling the trigger on one?
So we have a target kind of like focal area right now that we're focusing on, Southern Alabama, Southern Mississippi. We also like Northern Florida, just haven't found anything over there quite yet. Just kind of the Gulf Coast Panhandle is where we're primarily targeting a lot of our efforts. And a lot of that comes from the fact that myself and one of my other business partners, Reggie, were both locally based in Southern Alabama for pretty much the last 7 years. And so we were really able, our locale helped us a lot, not only with building relationships, but having that competitive advantage and being able to tackle a lot of these deals, be seen as more of a credible professional, be able to go tour the assets in the blink of an eye, literally like 10 minutes from my house, just go and check out all these different assets. So that helped us a lot grow internally. It also helped us build a business. So I actually began hiring, right? We started our property management company, which is based down there. We started hiring inside Ferrari Capital, and we have one or two employees that are local. Some of them are more VAs that are more global, but basically, a lot of our locale is there. And so it makes it really easy for us to scale. So when there's another deal that pops up in that general area, we already have contractors. We already have property managers, whether that be our company or a third party company. We already have so many different things, a big team built out that allows us to quickly just flip the switch, snap our fingers, and rinse repeat our model super easy. So that's why we like the markets that we're in right now. There's also some other fundamentals behind that, but we don't have to dive too deep into those. As far as the criteria we look for, we have a specific model. Our model is very different than that of what a lot of other people utilize. We utilize what we call our perpetuity model. So a lot of times what you hear when you think about syndication or when you have conversations with folks, they talk about the doubling your money in 5 years. You know, that was the big thing for so long. Honestly, I don't even know if that's the thing now. What I've seen more of is doubling your money in 7 to 10 years, just because of where the market is and the debt market. But it used to be the traditional model was, hey, I'm going to double your money in 5 years. You're going to give it to me. I'm going to give you some level of pref. We're going to try to do some kind of liquidity event in a couple of years. And then by the fifth year, I hope to sell it and double your cash. Rinse, repeat, pay all the taxes on it, and let's move on with our lives and find the next one. It was a very transaction-based business, very burn and turn type model. And it's never really what we sought out to do, because I knew from the clarity that I got from that Vivid Vision that I wanted to live a passive lifestyle. I wanted to be able to build a business that was going to allow me to work literally 15, 20 hours a week and spend the rest of the time spending time with family, traveling, literally doing anything and everything that I could possibly want to do, just having the freedom to be able to do it. I didn't want to create another job for myself. And so I needed passive income. The only way to have passive income is to hold on to these assets longer term. So through this syndication model, I had to figure out, well, how on earth am I going to hold an asset long-term while having and utilizing other people's investors' cash? Because that's what a lot of people's dilemma is. They say, well, there's got to be an exit, right? All of your investors, they're going to want their money back. They're going to want some kind of an exit. They're not just going to remain illiquid for 20 to 30 years. And so we found a model that works very well for us. Again, we call it our perpetuity model. Basically, we do a refi by the second or third year. So it has to be a value-add asset. So we're looking for value-add assets, A, B, or C class, that allows us to either do some kind of loss-to-lease play, a more effective management play, or simply just increase the rents, actually do a large CapEx project, whatever the case is, and how I can extract value out of this asset. I need to be able to extract enough over a 2 to 3 year time frame to be able to pull out 100% of our investors' initial investment. So if I raise $1 million, I need to be able to pull out $1 million in 2 to 3 years so I can give it back to my investors, make them whole, also give them a pref along the way. So it's not like I'm just holding their money and not giving them anything. And then once I give them their capital back, I then, as a GP, me, my two business partners, Matt and Reggie, we then take 70% of the deal. So we get 70% of the deal for the remaining 20 to 30 years, and they get 30% of the deal, which ends up equating to about 3 to 6% in annualized returns and infinite returns in perpetuity, as well as they get to benefit 30% of the upside from all the additional refis in the future, as well as when we do ultimately decide to sell, they get to benefit 30% of the upside. We get to benefit 70% of the upside, which is typically multiple six figures a year per deal per GP. So I can make upwards, or am making upwards of $200,000-$300,000 a year passively from one deal. And it's literally just because I took 70% of it, because I wanted to structure my business in such a way that allowed me to do that. So the criteria that we look for is a deal that we want to hold on to for long term. So that's another reason we like the markets that we're in, because we know we're going to be in those markets for a long time. 20, 30 years, that's a long time, right? I need to know that there's going to be growth in this market. I need to know there's going to be some level of appreciation. I need to know that this market isn't going to be tanking. There's no negative connotations here or implementations for what could be with this particular market I'm going to be in for a long time. So I'm also looking for an asset that I can add value pretty quickly. Multifamily has been our primary bread and butter, A, B, and C class. Although this year we did actually buy an RV park. We actually really liked the RV park model due to insurance. Insurance is ridiculously expensive in coastal markets right now. And you're anywhere between $1,250 a door to $3,000 a door annually in your premium right now for multifamily in the markets that we're in. Whereas an RV park, I'm literally like ridiculously cheap. It's like $7 a pad for annual premium insurance. And I can get the same level of rent and a less operating expense ratio that you can with about a C-class asset that we have in that same market utilizing the RV park model.
Very interesting. I had a question about going back to your perpetuity model that you utilize. Do you find that any of your more sophisticated investors, which I have found that enjoy quote unquote velocity of money with that, I mean, have you found pushback from investors because of that, or because they're still getting their money out, they're fine with it, and they still have, you know, a lot of their upside is coming after they get their money back. You know what I mean? Like the years right to come, since they're getting that large percentage still.
Right. No. So we've had some investors, like you're saying, that are just like, I don't like that model. You know, I like holding long term, but I don't like that exact model. unfortunately, I'm not going to be investing with you. That's few and far between. I've maybe had a handful of those conversations. Honestly, most people I talk to really actually love this model because there's practically no other sponsor out there that holds on to an asset for 20 to 30 years, or at least has a business plan of holding on for that long. So when people hear something like that and they know they're going to get 100% of their cash back in 2 to 3 years, and let's finish going through the rest of the benefits. I was trying to give you the high level, but to really answer this question, the best way to do it is to go through the entire model itself, all the benefits to both the GPs and the LPs. So from a passive investor perspective, this is going to be structured as a 70-30 initial split on the buy-in. So your standard model there from equity split. They're going to get a 10% preferred return. They're going to get that for 3 years. So let's use $100,000 as an initial investment example that I get from an investor. 100 grand they give me. At the end of the third year, they'll have $130,000. 10% year over year for 3 years, and they'll have their $100,000 back from the refi. Now, since it's a refi and not a sale, it's tax-free. So they don't have to worry about paying any depreciation recapture or any capital gains. And they can literally take the $100,000 I initially gave them and invest it into another perpetuity deal or do whatever they want with it and never have to worry about paying a dime in taxes. They're also going to have their 70% pro rata share of the equity, right? And all the K-1s that they receive, which is going to give them their higher net worth and all of their depreciation and tax benefits, which of course we'll be doing a class segregation study. So they'll be able to accelerate a lot of that. And pretty much every dime that they ever earn from a perpetuity model deal, they're never going to have to pay taxes on. So that's another great thing that people really enjoy about this model is like, wow, I can invest $100,000 and never have to pay taxes on it. This is great. So people really like that. Then on the inversion, so after year three, when they get 100% of their money back and we take 70% of the deal and they keep 30%, that's strictly just cash flow. So it's almost like a waterfall. So now I'm taking 70% of all the actual monthly cash flow that's going to be put off, any refi proceeds that's going to be put off, and ultimately when we sell, I get 70% of the upside. They get 30% of all that. Now, again, I say it's like a waterfall because they keep their equity. So the 70% equity they initially bought in never changes. So not only are they going to have still be in the deal, they're fully divested like you would be in the stocks, but you get to still benefit and all the upside. So you're still going to get 30% of all of the cash flow, which again is typically going to equate to be about 3 to 6% of their initial investment. So 3 to 6 grand with $100,000 investment example in perpetuity. And since they'll have the higher share of equity, the higher depreciation amounts, they're never going to have to pay taxes on that either, on any of that cash flow. So on top of all that, again, 30% of the upside when we do sell, which, you know, 20 or 30 years from now, there's no telling what the property will be worth, and they'll get to benefit in that, another massive payday. But also we have what we call our Christmas bonus. So this is the last benefit that I'll say. We call it the Christmas bonus because it's nothing that we can project. It's nothing that I can say without a shadow of a doubt that you'll absolutely get this. These are the projections. It's more so like, hey, there's a massive chance that this is what will happen. And this is like the way that we're structuring the deal. So every 5 to 10 years, we're going to be using agency debt, right? So every 5 to 10 years, due to the standard life cycle of debt, we're going to be forced to do a refi. So with that refi, I am going to extract every amount of value that I can out of that, and I'm going to do a cash out refi. Now imagine 3 years in, I do a refi at first, and I've done all the renovations I already can. Then 10 years down the road, there's probably some things that need to be replaced. If I didn't replace the roofs initially, the roofs probably need to be replaced. The siding needs done. The interiors may slowly start to become outdated. Parking lot needs redone. The pool's nasty now. Like bigger, larger CapEx items suddenly need to be taken care of. And we never want to have to do a capital call, right? So we're just extrapolating the equity out of the asset to pay for larger CapEx items down the road. So every 5 to 10 years, let's call it 10 years, we're now 13 years into the deal. Let's say I raise the value of the asset by $1 million every year over a 10-year time frame. I've got $10 million of equity. Now, let's say I do a 70% loan-to-value loan. I pull out $7 million in cash out of this asset. Let's say I only need $2 million to replace the roof, interiors, whatever else I got to do. The other $5 million is going to be distributed 70% to the GPs and 30% to the LPs. So this Christmas bonus is literally every 5 to 10 years, even with a $100,000 investment example, you could expect to receive another $50,000, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 check in the mail, also tax-free because it's a refi throughout the life of this deal. So people are like, holy cow, That sounds incredible. And then that, like the Christmas bonus is almost what puts it over the edge. There's a lot of benefits throughout the deal here. But then knowing that they could make even more money, because like you said, people really want the velocity of money. So they're like, you know, this is great that I get all my money back and that I'm making returns, but can I make even more money in the same deal? So the Christmas bonus allows them to make more money, plus the sale, plus the perpetual, you know, infinite returns that they receive. And then some people really like the fact that they actually get 100% of their money back in 2 to 3 years, because not a lot of deals actually provide that. Most often than not, you have to wait for the sale, which is at this point and where the market is, ends up being later, closer to 7 to 10 years. So we actually did a calculation. This is the last thing I'll say. We did a calculation on this. We looked at the traditional syndication model and we looked at the perpetuity model. We had to make some assumptions, of course, but our assumptions were basically that every time you got 100% of your investment back, you just reinvested it. So when I look at the traditional syndication, if I look at it just every 5 years, we're rinsing and recycling that money and I'm paying my depreciation recapture, I'm paying my capital gains with $100,000 investment example, I end up with about 160 some odd thousand bucks when it's all said and done. Take that money, rinse, repeat it after the fifth year. And then 10 years later, I've doubled that. And then 10 years later, I've doubled that, you know, less all the taxes and everything. Now with the perpetuity model and us not selling a deal, every 3 years instead of every 5 years, are you able to recycle that capital? And then when you recycle it, you get 10% pref on the higher number of capital that you recycle. So on top of all that, plus never having to pay any taxes, plus potential Christmas bonuses, you know, you're able to recycle the capital much faster and you actually end up with the same exact initial $100,000 investment with like an extra $1 million, $1.5 million in like literal cash in the bank worth of value from your initial investment over a 20-year time frame.
That's very powerful. The other thing too is owning property longer, there's less risk with it. I mean, when you're buying properties, every time you purchase a property, there's always a lot of unknowns. So I always see that the longer you're owning property, the more you know about it, the less unknowns there are and the safer the investment is. Just what I found from owning properties for, you know, 10, 15 years, multifamily properties, that you know exactly what has to be repaired, what's kind of there and what's been completely done, you're all set with. And you don't know that when you buy a property. It's like buying a used car, you know what I mean? So it's just like you don't know exactly what's going on there. And until you get it, and then you're like, oh, okay, a lot more stuff than I thought was wrong with it. And now you just do that once in your life, because if your people are in and out of a property, they're going to know, you'll have a list of stuff that you know that's going to be needing repairs. You know what I mean? You know, it's kind of going, hey, this is going to have to be, these HVAC units have to be looked at and all this kind of stuff. So that's just something, and it allows you to really, it helps you with your whole financial strategy, I found. So that's a great model, Josh. So as we're wrapping up here, I just had a couple questions and then we'll give you a time to explain your business and how people can get in touch with you. But how important has partnering been for growing your business up to this point, since you've had so much growth over the last few years?
Yep. Pretty much everything we've ever done up to this point has been done within our partnership. So within the three of us, me, Matt, and Reggie, we've pretty much done all of our own sourcing, all of our own acquisitions, all the underwriting, the due diligence, all the capital raising, equity, all the asset management. And now we've started our property management company and we're doing that as well. So we're trying to just create a company that allows us to do a lot of things internally, both from a scale perspective, but just from an efficiency perspective. You know, once you bring a lot of third-party people into the mix and they've got their own way of doing things and you got your own way of doing things and you're trying to mesh the two, and oftentimes you're butting heads and they're just not performing the way you need them to, it just made a lot more sense for us to vertically integrate once we hit a certain level. But from a partnership perspective, the three of us, no chance would I be able to be where I am today if it wasn't the three of us partner. I mean, even all the way from the get-go, from when we initially started. Right, I lost $60,000 from my first fourplex investment. And then I went on to raise $650,000, 6 million bucks in soft commits, closed our first 42 unit. But I wouldn't have been able to close it if I didn't have like any liquidity. Because for any of you out there that have never closed a multifamily deal before, even through a syndication, it still requires liquidity. You've still got earnest money deposits. You've still got due diligence costs, lender fees. There's still things that are required up front, even if you get reimbursed for them on the back end. And I literally had $0 and 0 cents. So I was like, I don't know, I'm gonna close this deal without any money. So I gotta find someone else that has some liquidity that wants in on this. So the only way I was able to even build that partnership in the first place was by bringing value. A lot of people really want to already, they want to partner with people for free. Like they want to not join a mentorship program. They want to not have any value to add. And they want to just go find a business partner that's going to help them grow and scale and be massively successful in this business. But it's really hard to go and find a reputable partner that's actually going to benefit you, help you. You guys are going to be able to help each other if you have zero value to add. The only reason I was ever able to even find my business partners now was because I already had the mentor. So I already had the knowledge, the education, the ability to execute with having him in my corner and teaching me everything that I needed to know. I already had the skill set to be able to go out and raise a bunch of money. I had sourced the deal. I had done a lot of the diligence on the deal. I was going to help with a lot of the asset management. I was helping with so many different aspects of this investment that me not having any liquidity wasn't an issue. Like that was an easy problem for someone else to solve. But it was only, they were only interested in solving it if I brought value. I mean, imagine me, no money, no experience, no knowledge, no ability to raise cash, no ability to source a deal. I just go up to some guy that's got a ton of money and I say, hey, you want to partner with me on a deal, man? Like I'm struggling here. I really want to do multifamily. I don't know anything about it. I know you got money and I'd love to help. And then at that point, you're like a burden. You bring no value. You just cause more problems. So if I could give any recommendation as far as partnerships go, it would be to jump into a mastermind, join a mentorship program, learn, educate, just learn as much as you can so that you have the skill set, knowledge, the experience to be able to then go and add value to someone who you actually need. Because if you're anything like me out there listening to this right now, when I first got started, then you don't have any money. So finding someone who has money is only going to be interested in you if you can do something for them.
Yeah, no, it's completely true. I've had people reach out to me, like I imagine you've had people reach out to you to partner on deals, and it's kind of like a one-way street kind of thing. And you're like, this just, it's not going to work. You know what I mean? Because if I say yes, my partners are going to say no. So I might as well just say no now. You know what I mean? Because
No. I've had one guy reach out to me in particular recently. He had no experience in multifamily. First of all, he lived up in Michigan and he was looking at a deal in Florida down where I'm at down here in Tampa. And so it wasn't even close to being local, didn't know anything about multifamily, had never invested in real estate before, didn't have any money, didn't have any ability to put any money into the deal, didn't have any ability to raise any capital, like hadn't ever actually done it before. And he wanted to partner with us, be like part of the asset management team, like actually help with asset management, and wanted to raise the money. And I was like, this just, and by the way, the deal, this first deal that he'd like was trying to bring to me to say that we should do together was over 400 units. And it was like a $50 million deal. Like, dude, just let's take many, 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 many steps back first. This is just way too large, way too far away. You don't have the knowledge and experience that you need. Yeah. I mean, it just goes into what we were just talking about.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, anyway, people always, they don't want to start at the bottom anymore. They want to start at the top and work sideways. A mentor of mine told me. But Joshua, so let's talk about how people can get in touch with you, listen to Creative Capital, everything else you got going on.
Yeah, I would honestly say just go to our website. So if you go to ferraricapital.com, spelled just like the car, then all of our information is there. You can find all of my LinkedIn channels there. So I always say LinkedIn, social media channels there. LinkedIn and Facebook are really the two platforms that I'm most active on again. So you can follow me there. All of our podcasts are actually on the website as well. If you're interested in getting more active in the business, all the information for potentially jumping into our mastermind is in there. I have a newsletter. I have a free ebook. I have blogs, all kinds of stuff. I would say just go to the website.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. And welcome to Florida. And it's great to have you here. Hopefully we can contact sometime face-to-face.
Yeah, absolutely. I just bought a new Polaris side-by-side, so we can take it out and have some fun.
There you go. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Later.
Hi, guys. It's Charles from the Global Investors Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you're interested in getting involved with real estate, but you don't know where to begin, set up a free 30-minute strategy call with me at ScheduledCharles.com. That's ScheduledCharles.com. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Global Investor Podcast. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Google Play to get new weekly episodes. For more resources and to receive our newsletter, please visit globalinvestorpodcast.com. And don't forget to join us next week for another episode.
Nothing in this episode should be considered specific, personal, or professional advice. Any investment opportunities mentioned on this podcast are limited to accredited investors. Any investments will only be made with proper disclosure, subscription documentation, and are subject to all applicable laws. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, financial, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own. Information is not guaranteed. All investment strategies have the potential for profit or loss. The host is operating on behalf of Syndication Superstars LLC exclusively.